The first time I realized the rules didn't apply to her, it was the sound that gave it away. Laughter, too loud for the hour, spilling out of a closed conference room while the rest of us sat in silence, pretending not to hear. The air conditioning was broken that week, so the office smelled faintly of sweat and stale printer ink. I remember the way my chair stuck to the back of my legs when I shifted, the low hum of fluorescent lights overhead. She walked past my desk afterward, swinging her badge like it was a toy, not even glancing at the clock everyone else watched like a threat. I felt it then, a small tightening behind my ribs. Not jealousy, recognition. Something had already tilted, and we were all pretending the floor was still level. She arrived the way interns usually do, nervous smile, oversized blazer, asking where to sit, like she didn't want to take up too much space. I'd seen dozens like her over the years, bright, ambitious, careful. This place ran on unspoken hierarchies, and interns learned fast who mattered and who didn't. I assumed she would too. What I didn't expect was how quickly the learning would harden into leverage. The office loved to talk about merit. We used words like hustle and initiative, especially when justifying why some people advanced faster than others. The truth was messier. Power here wasn't written into job descriptions. It lived in calendars, in who could interrupt whom, in whose mistakes became teaching moments, and whose became cautionary tales. I was a manager by then, not senior enough to shape policy, but high enough to see patterns. I watched her gravitate towards certain desks, linger in doorways where decisions were made. She asked smart questions, but more importantly, she asked them of the right people. There was an ease to her confidence that didn't read as arrogance. It read as alignment. At first, it looked harmless. She was assigned to a high-profile project, supposedly because of her background. When deadlines slipped, no one blamed her. When her work came in half-formed, someone else quietly finished it. I told myself this was normal favoritism, the kind that ebbs and flows depending on who's in favor. But then came the exceptions. She skipped mandatory trainings without consequence. She showed up late to meetings that everyone else treated like court appearances. When a junior analyst complained about her missing deliverables, the complaint vanished and the analyst was suddenly reassigned. No announcement, just an empty chair one morning and a tight smile from HR. I noticed how people adjusted around her. Conversations dropped when she walked by. Jokes got careful. She wasn't feared yet, but she was protected, and that distinction matters. Protection changes behavior. It teaches people what not to touch. She learned quickly. You could see it in the way she spoke, less tentative, more declarative. She stopped asking for permission and started assuming it. The rules didn't bend all at once. They softened around her, like wax warmed by proximity to heat. I rationalized my silence the way managers often do. This isn't my battle. She's young, she's talented, the system will correct itself, but systems rarely do. They reward what works, and what worked for her was knowing exactly where to stand. The shift became impossible to ignore the day she contradicted a director in a meeting and walked out unscathed. Not just unscathed, rewarded. The director apologized to her later publicly, framing it as encouragement of fresh perspectives. The room absorbed the lesson instantly. Authority was now conditional. From there, momentum took over. She was no longer just an intern. She was a conduit. Information flowed through her that shouldn't have. Decisions were previewed to her before teams heard about them. When she spoke, people listened, not because of her title, but because of who listened to her. I felt complicit in ways that crept up on me. I signed off on her extended contract despite reservations. I defended her when peers questioned the imbalance. Each choice felt small, isolated, reasonable. Together, they formed a shield. The point of no return came when a colleague filed a formal complaint after being publicly undermined by her. I was pulled into the meeting, asked for context. I knew the truth. I also knew the cost of naming it. I chose my words carefully, smoothing edges, emphasizing stress, potential misunderstandings. The complaint was closed within a week. The colleague resigned a month later. After that, there was no pretending. The rules didn't just stop applying to her. They became tools she could wield. Deadlines were enforced selectively. Standards shifted depending on who was in her orbit. People started paying for her missteps in quiet, cumulative ways. The office grew tense, not explosive, just brittle. Everyone calculated their distance from her, measuring safety and proximity. I watched morale erode, not from overwork but from imbalance. When fairness disappears, exhaustion follows. I told myself I was protecting my team by keeping the peace. The truth was uglier. I was protecting myself. Power has gravity, and once you're caught in its pull, resisting feels like self-destruction. When she finally left, it wasn't because the system rejected her. It was because she outgrew it. She moved on to something bigger, carrying recommendations that glowed with praise. The office exhaled quietly, like a room after a storm passes. The damage didn't leave with her. People compared notes, piecing together what they'd endured. Careers had stalled. Trust had thinned. Some never recovered the confidence they'd lost, watching rules applied unevenly. I stayed. Managers often do. Someone has to keep the lights on. I tried to rebuild what I could to restore a sense of balance. But once people learn that rules are optional for some, the belief never fully returns. I think about her sometimes, about how quickly she understood the game. I don't blame her entirely. She played the hand she was dealt and won. The rest of us paid for the table being tilted long before she sat down. What lingers isn't anger, it's awareness of how easily systems choose convenience over fairness, of how silence, once normalized, becomes infrastructure, and of how becoming untouchable is rarely about immunity. It's about everyone else deciding not to reach.